Hello and welcome back to Illumination, the Disney Lorcana podcast. My name is Max.
I'm Sam.
And we have a guest.
Cliff.
Cliff got back in.
I did.
He snuck back in.
Back door.
He was hanging out with us and he just stayed.
I did.
We didn't notice.
Mm-mm.
But he is here and we are excited because there's a bunch of new information coming out of the Worlds broadcast that just happened this past weekend at time of recording, so the very end of June here, and we are talking all about it. First and foremost, thank you for listening, and a big congratulations to the first ever Lorcana champion, DKP himself, the hardest working individual in the Lorcana space, just constantly grinding. You'll never see more grinding on a Maui half shark in your entire life.
Hot.
It is.
This is a children's game.
This is a children's game. What did I say that wasn't child appropriate, Sam?
Grinding.
Oh, I see. All right. No more grinding. But DKP, way to grind. Moving on from the world's coverage, we have news. And that's what we're really excited about, right?
News.
We're not world champions.
We are not.
None of us are DKP.
Correct.
But we would like to be DKP in as much as we want to win a championship.
Correct.
So, new information was announced about all of the Disney Lorcana challenges, with many of them including dates and specific locations, which is particularly exciting. I'm going to run through a quick list. Obviously, this information is available, which in and of itself is good news.
Yes.
And we're having three of these in North America, three in the EU, two in Brazil, two in Japan, three in China, one in Australia, along with a challenge qualifier event, and two, we believe, in Southeast Asia. Pretty exciting. That is a lot. 16 Disney Lorcana challenge events across the world and some places that have never had them before.
Yes.
So more people getting more access to this really, really fun game. So we're excited about that. Some other changes that came up, and feel free you two to jump in because I only have a few listed here. One of the big ones is possibly one of the most exciting is the format has changed for all the Disney Lorcana challenges. It is now best of three matches.
Thank God.
And the finals, I think, is it from the 32 cut up or is it higher than that where we go five?
Just finals.
Just finals.
Last two is best of five.
Yeah. And Cliff can appreciate that, I think, more than us since he's had to experience it.
Playing best of five for the finals, I think, is the best way because then you don't lose because you had one bad draw.
Right. Luck becomes less of a factor.
Correct.
Which is really awesome. And the fact that we don't have to deal with the much maligned two-game format.
Which was horrendous.
It just created so much. In my very, very little experience with it, left me with a feeling of emptiness. Like, I just don't know. Like, a lot of 1-1s where I just wasn't sure.
It's like, not satisfying. Like, there's no like gratification of I won. And then there's like no really like letdown that I lost. I know both of you helped me test for Vegas.
Yes.
Doing the 2-game. It feels really bad that at the end of round two, you have 2 points and are effectively dead for the day.
Yes.
You didn't lose a round, but you're out.
But yeah, you didn't do enough because that winning two with the extra points was so big in determining if you could proceed into the top cut.
3 points for the 1-1.
Yeah, it's nuts. And seeing that change, knowing that Ravensburger has been listening to the community is a heartening thing. So I'm really happy that that change was made.
Yes.
Yeah. We are now a 2-day format. So we are going to finish up our rounds, last four of the rounds, I believe. 8 rounds day one, 4 rounds day two with a top 32 cut.
Correct.
After that. That's a lot of Lorcana.
Yes.
So we're not missing out on any of the games because they really want us to play the Lorcana games. Well, guess what? A lot of Lorcana games will be played.
Yeah. Feasibly, you'll have to be 10-02.
Yeah.
Or 9-1-2 to like really be in like better standing.
Yeah, that's fair. You want to win, which hasn't changed, right? Like that's still top 32. We don't yet know the size cap for these events at time of recording, but obviously if we're talking about like something like a 5K and only 32 of those people can make it, that's a very small percentage.
Right.
So you've got to be playing your best. There's just no doubt about it.
And with it being 12 rounds before the top cut, we can assume more than a 2,000 player cap.
Right.
We don't know that for a fact.
No.
But just from previous gaming experience, we can assume that if you're playing 12 rounds, it's more than 2,000 players.
Working on some calculations, right?
Yeah.
Grinding them numbers, we can kind of figure out that this is approximately the world we're living in, which is good. I mean, we've seen that at the size they were during season one, they were easy sellouts.
Yes.
Easy sellouts. So I'm hoping personally for something like a 5K main event. That would be lovely. Now we're questioning, can we sell that out?
Sure.
Less DLCs overall is kind of the downside to that, but it also means that there's a higher chance that these things will sell out at a much larger cap.
Right. But we, on the bright side, we know more than 40 days in advance.
One of the biggest difficulties in terms of season one was short notice to make a lot of very important adult decisions on deciding travel, lodging, being able to take the time off from work, being able to take the time away from family, transporting the entire family.
Right.
Things that are very difficult, not easy to do on a 40-ish day notice.
Even saving up money for it.
Right.
Like just things that you can't do when you just have limited.
A month and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I talked about it, I think, when we did my Vegas recap. I had everything booked for Vegas before I even knew I was in.
Yes.
Flight, hotel, everything.
Sam and I did not get tickets, but we had a hotel before we found out we weren't getting tickets.
Yeah, like just because you wanted to be able to get things before theoretically they went up because of the extra couple thousand people buying in.
Right.
Yeah.
And know that you're able to go.
I think we kept the hotel room for a month.
Because you were on the waiting list.
Yeah.
Yes, we were.
In hopes that we would get there.
Absolutely.
For one of the events, I mean, I'm going to jump a little out of order. I apologize. We know an event in June of next year.
You're on actually in order that we have dates for many of these events. EU, NA have event dates. Some of the other places are still TBD, but they're getting their first ever ones. And I'm hoping that they're continue to give them as much notice as possible.
Right.
Because we're going to have different groups, right? Different companies handling a lot of the tournament organization. And Ravensburger's never done that in those countries. So I'm not trying to defend them too much. Goodness knows I give them guff from time to time when they need it. But I think that the fact that they're talking about these, they're planning these, they've laid them all out. We know approximately what the season's going to look like, be it a little bit mushed this time because of how late things got pushed from season one. We're working our way through. It feels like season two very much is if we can hold through this year, we're going to see what in season three Ravensburger really has planned for the scope and the breadth of their organized play.
Yeah, the real idea.
Yep. We're going to see what the full beast is.
Right
now, it seems like we're getting pieces of it and we're getting a lot of decisions that are made because there's so much pressure in terms of time and lack of resources, which is okay. Hey, we're getting something. It's better than nothing. I'm hoping I can do one this season, which is more than we got to do last season because of the weird lottery style admission. So I'm just hoping that even if I can't play in the main event, I'm still allowed to go connect with other enjoyers of this game and experience a DLC for the first time.
It does look like it'll be like that. Just knowing how Pastimes, which is the TO for North America, runs things. They've already posted that badges will be going on sale. So it's not like a main event ticket.
Right.
So there'll be different badges. And in general, like a badges system for Magic, it's like your baseline badge gets you into the main event and allows you to be in the venue. Generally different tiers that give you maybe a couple extra prize wall tickets or access to some side events or like a special lanyard or like random
playmat, water bottle.
Yeah, some tchotchke of some sort to help justify the extra cost.
Yes, I love when they offer the VIP room as one of my favorites.
It's usually just a room with a couch in it.
It's a couch room with water cooler in it so you can fill your tchotchke.
And that's it.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm happy to see that Eventbrite is probably no longer in the picture.
It does seem like that.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah. Time of recording, it seems like Pastimes, like Cliff said, handles a lot of different card games, including Magic the Gathering. So they are no stranger to events of this size and making sure that, and I'm sure Ravensburger's still feeling the sting from the community over how season one went in terms of the amount of people that wanted to go to a DLC versus the amount of people who actually were able to attend a DLC.
And like, I know there's a lot of current fan outrage online, like about where the locations of the DLCs and the lacking of total amount of DLCs. But like, we have to remember that Ravensburger just hired a whole new team to help handle this stuff, 2 months ago?
Right.
Three-ish, like 2 to 3 months ago. They haven't been in place that long. I'm generally a very cynical person. Max can attest to this, but like,
yes.
I think in this case, we have to give them a little bit of leeway just to see how this plays out. They've been more transparent than they ever were about anything. And we know about an event a year away.
Right.
It's not that bad to plan for an event 360 days away.
As opposed to 40-ish.
Yes.
It's a big change. And also just in terms of in season one, we had 6 in North America, but the largest one was a little over 2,000 people.
Correct.
Where if these caps are much larger, 5,000 people for just the main event, you're just about as many people who are allowed to participate in a DLC. Obviously, that strongly diminishes your chances of performing at a high level at a deal, because luck's a huge factor. You'd be the best player in the room, but when there's that many players in the room, you're going to draw bad every now and occasionally, right? You're going to make a suboptimal decision every now and again, and it's going to get punished. And that further punishes you when there's that many other Illumineers in the room. But at least everybody gets to register and play in a large volume, which is exciting.
One of the other changes is how the prize cards are given out.
Yes.
So,
per win right now?
Well, no, it's for participating, you get the
Pegasus.
Prior to, you had to wait until round 3 to get the Dragonfire.
Right.
And then it was top 128 got the Let It Go. Top 64 got one. 32.
Yep. Stouthearted, Rapunzel,
yeah.
And the playmat, and then...
Yes. And then the Mickey.
Golden, yeah, Golden Mickey.
But now it's after playing in round 5, you get the Mulan.
Yes.
And then if you make top 32, you get the Simba.
Yes. A big deal too. Like, I think we're going to see the value of the Mulan be a lot less than the Let It Go was,
yeah.
But we're also going to see that Simba worth probably a little bit more than the Cinderella Stouthearted would have been, closer, yeah, probably to something like a Rapunzel.
And my other hope would be, since they're sticking with the prize wall, is the amount of prize wall tickets you can earn for the main event.
Yes.
It was a little frustrating. If you had to get to 30 points in the tournament to get 20 prize wall tickets, and that equated to just one of the promos.
Right.
You spent effectively an entire day to get less prizes than if you just ground out side events.
Exactly.
Like Olivia and I played in 3 side events, got first and second in each one, and in less than 2 hours got 51 prize wall tickets in 2 hours.
Right.
I played an entire day for 20, and that was the most tickets you could get.
Right, exactly. Huge difference, and obviously the price difference. And also, that was at Vegas, when if you kind of roll back time to Atlanta, it was even worse, where really awesome Cinderella Stouthearted playmat was just basically unachievable without some shady dealings for other people's prize tickets.
People going in, yeah, together for it. Or
yeah, the thing that they said not to do.
Yeah.
For all of the shortcomings and a little bit of the ones we alluded to, I will say that my hat is off to Ravensburger for addressing so many of the previous issues already, and we still have more information yet to come,
right,
about some of these events. And we're also, in exciting news, getting an Infinity format DLC as, yes, one of these. Usually it's going to be the last one in the grouping.
If there's three,
the third, if you have one, will be an Infinity format DLC, which is really cool to see. They've also pulled back the previous, we're not sure, but we think maybe we're going to continue the band list from Core Constructed into Infinity. We see that's kind of evaporated. Obviously, Bucky is the unfortunate receiver of all of the punishment, yeah, as that poor squirrel always will be, RIP. And now we do see that Hiram Flavers from Toymaker and Fortisphere are unbanned or will not be put on a banned list for Infinity at the start of the format. Obviously, Data will change things.
Right. From like their conversation about it, it feels like they do have their crosshairs pointed firmly at Hiram.
Yes.
I feel like Fortisphere just was an unfair bystander to the banning.
That blue steel deck was just operating on such a different axis, yeah, than anything could answer, that it just was, yeah, it was collateral damage.
But it's at least nice to know that they're going to have their own ban list. They've pointed out that they will remove things from a ban list because Hiram's not just starting on a ban list.
Correct. Yeah, I think keeping your ban lists evergreen is a great thing to do, because as games evolve, power level changes. So even though Hiram is extremely powerful now, there might be a time far flung from now, a couple of years from now, if they do end up adding him to the ban list for Infinity, that maybe he's not that bad, and maybe he just is too expensive and too clunky,
right,
for the game anymore. So he's very safe to unban, or at least test unban.
Right, yeah, you pull him off the ban list and you see, oh, literally people are trying and it's actively bad.
Yes.
He's 100% A-okay.
Yep, totally safe to do.
So yeah, that's exciting that they're supporting the Infinity format and not just saying, hey, there's this other thing that you can do.
It's for side events. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really nice that they're actually supporting it, and you're seeing it in a large scale event and not just a side event.
Yes. My fear was strongly because of the way they're rolling out the whole new world promos, the non-foils, that they were like, oh, we encourage the stores to do an infinity format, but we're not offering any additional prizing for it. It's like, oh, okay, this is just going to be hardcore swept under the rug.
Right.
But again, this is people, I can't emphasize this enough. One takeaway from this podcast episode, be patient. Wait and see before you start making leaps and assumptions and start pouring out all of your strong guttural reactions on the internet for everybody else to see. Take a moment, compose yourself, think about what it is. Think about, can this change over time or will this possibly change? And let me just take a breath, take a night, take a sleep and figure out how bad or good this is or what potential or maybe why this decision was made or what potential could come of it. We need to come together and try to work together to enact change. And I think we have done that effectively. And I think Ravensburger has been insanely receptive to it. But I think you need to conduct yourself in a manner that is respectful of Ravensburger the way they've respected our opinions. So just be patient. Let them work. They have people now to help do these things. We're getting very quick responses. Even if the response is we are working on it, we have no further news at this time, you're being acknowledged.
It's a lot more than proof before.
Right. It's light years better than it has been, which means that they've been trying. And that's, at the end of the day, the best thing they can be doing for us in the health of the game.
Right. And like, I can like even say, like, after doing Vegas, they asked everyone for like a recap or like thoughts and opinions on it. Like, I got an email. I filled out a very, very long and detailed issues, things that I was happy about and what to see changed. If Win Past Times announces Milwaukee, which is the first one, as having a 5,000 player cap at a decent venue, effectively everything I put into my complaint would have been adjusted, aside from having more evenly spread out events, but that could be because of things behind the scenes that we don't know.
Right, exactly. We don't know how all of the tournament organizing went. We don't know how contracts were laid out. We don't know what obligations were made. We just don't know. So be thankful in a way that we have something at least to grab onto in season two. And I do think that we're going to see more of what the entirety is for their plan for organized play come the next season.
Because like a worst thing could have been, hey, we're going to work on this, but season two is not happening until next year. You're going to have 9 months of nothing continuing, like another 9 months, and then we'll roll it out. We at least have like a stopgap kind of like feeling. And that's sort of what this feels like.
Absolutely. It's an attempt, right? And there are other things we can see moving forward. We've been talking a lot about this since the announcement is the concept of something like an event that will feed into a DLC or a way to gain points on your newly added Ravensburger Play Hub account so that it can help you with things like maybe early round buys. Or we've seen now that challenge related events that are happening.
Ravensburger-supported events
are going to include, it seems like, compensation for travel and lodging, which is amazing.
Right. What is effectively an invite to the DLC.
Yes.
Travel and lodging.
Crazy, right?
Right. Even if it doesn't cover your whole flight and hotel, that's like a massive like weight off of somebody's back.
Yes. That makes what was impossible likely to happen.
Right.
Which is amazing. So seeing things like that happen at certain point levels, like even if they don't want to buy into the system of buys, which I know the community is not always a fan of, I think that comes with over time you learn why buys are important and what buys can do. And I think that there is a value that can be added to events like locals or store champs that can echo and push people to try to make these attempts at a higher competitive level. And I think that any way you can encourage that amongst people who may be too nervous to want to do that otherwise is something to be encouraged. So I'd like to see what understructure can support this DLC moving forward. Are they just going to do more of them? Or are they going to keep it to a smaller number, maybe a quarterly number or something in every region, but also create somewhat smaller events, something along the lines of what we see at the store level, at Charlie's Collectibles, Southside, some right. of these great the stores that are supporting.
100 to 200 player large scale events.
Exactly.
That the stores are fronting all the prizes.
Yes.
It costs Ravensburger next to nothing to be like, hey, you can add an invite to upcoming DLC X.
Yep.
And the winner gets a ticket in.
Exactly. It's free almost ostensibly for them to do this.
Right.
So I'm hoping they do something like that, because why not use the community that's been supporting the game? I will say every single time they bring up the game, they wholeheartedly thank these hobby stores and game stores that are supporting and keeping the game alive. They recognize that they truly are the heartbeat of Lurkana, and they absolutely are. I want to believe that they will be supported in that way, because it's such a small lift from Ravensburger, because these stores are already doing a great job. World Class Cards, Charlie's Collectibles, Southside, all these places are just doing an insane job. Close to Us Safari Zone definitely gets a shout out for this. Encounter Games, all these places just do a killer job already, and being able to back them more and say, hey, we appreciate what you're doing. Here's a way we hope we can get more people into your store buying more off your shelves as a thank you. Man, that's killer. And that's what it's all about, truly.
Right. I think it would be cool to have an event slightly more competitive too than a Store Champs.
Yes.
But still not the like DLC level. I feel like the Store Champs, they rolled back the hyper competitiveness a little bit.
Yes.
With the non-foil promos going to everyone. And that's fine. Everyone gets a cool looking card.
Yep.
Awesome. Like that is 100% needed. So it's less feels bad if you're not top eighting or feeling like you have to top eight to get the thing you really want. But I think the community also really wants a little bit more competitive, because then maybe you have less people traveling for the Store Champs.
Yes.
So your Store Champs can stay a little more local.
Absolutely.
And now you just have people more like, now I'm only really interested in traveling for these events that give me a invite to the huge event.
Absolutely. There's great conversations to be had at the top tables at a Store Champs if there's a point system, right? Where it's like, oh man, I need a few more points and I can get my travel for the next DLC. The other person goes, I have no intention of going to DLC, but I need that play mat. So I'll take the mat if you take the points.
Right.
Awesome. Yeah, let's do it. That's great. Everybody's walking away happy. There's no further, it's not like we're demanding more product. There's less cutting up of top play mats, because everybody truly is getting something they want. And it just really helps. And I can't imagine the lift is too big from a tech side for a card.io to add a little section for points for us to track for all these events that we're playing. It adds something to locals. It makes the people who are grinding and want to get better, who are investing time to do so, get something out of it, which is huge.
I think the other neat thing that like the buys are, as we would refer to them, sleep-in specials, can get you is if somebody pro, where like you're excited to see this person show up and start playing, where like you showed up, you don't have the sleep-in special, but you 3-0'd, you're starting round 3 and you get paired against this pro that like you now you really want to see. So it gives you a better opportunity. Like they don't have to worry so much about losing round 1 or 2 because of bad draws or whatever. So it like establishes the pro as like somebody to look up to and to chase.
Yes.
As like something that the game can provide.
Absolutely.
You can be the professional.
Right. It helps so much in terms of making all of your games matter, but it helps promote getting out and playing the game more. It gets more people into game stores. If you want the game stores to support your game, support the game stores. Right. I think something like an understructure in a point system with a slightly larger style, regional, whatever you want to call it, that can help really feed into the DLCs, which feed into nationals, which feed into worlds, is such an elegant system. It's time tested. We know other games have done this. Yeah. It just works really well. And it does look to me like Lurkana is moving in that direction. They tried to do something very different initially, realized that it's like, you know what? Probably is a time-honored tradition amongst many games for a reason. Let's try to take our cool ideas and innovations, but also let's try to be a little bit more traditional at the same time.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I think this was insane news. Like I couldn't have come away more positive about it. Do I wish there were other things as well? Absolutely. Do I wish I had to look farther beyond the veil? Of course I do. Will I be patient and just continue to hope for the best and prepare for the worst? Yeah, I will. I'm no fool.
It does feel like, and I think we talked about it a little bit yesterday, it feels like they're trying to move how the seasons line up.
Yes.
To where like it feels like Worlds is going to end up ultimately being somewhere in November, December.
Right.
And then whatever the next season is, we'll start in January. Like they want it to be just on the normal yearly calendar.
Absolutely. Which makes sense.
Yeah. And it's just easier for everyone.
Right. You're home for the holidays. You're doing all of that kind of stuff. So you get to just relax and watch people play the game, which is really cool.
You can assume season 3 will start January of 27.
Pretty exciting. Sam, what do you think as a newer player to all this? It's the Cliff and I understand all this stuff and we kind of see the picture forming. How does this make you feel? Looking at it from a new player perspective.
I'm excited. I'm excited at the chance that it seems like we'll actually be able to get into one of these DLCs. At least that's what, you know, our hopes. So that's exciting. I wish there was a couple more in the North America that we could try to get to, but I'm happy with what we have. And like you guys said, we'll wait and see and be hopeful.
Right. And you have time.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's nice. It's nice to be able to be like, oh, well, we're going to just try to go to Richmond in January and we have
six months
to save up and plan and
put in our PTO.
Yeah, like I don't have to worry about it. I can save up vacation time.
Like I know I really want to play in the Infinity one, so I know I'm saving for Indy.
Really deep look behind the Illumination veil is as soon as the news was announced on Sunday night, all of us had our hotel booked.
Right.
Yeah.
So we were already ready for Richmond ahead of that. It's easy. We paid a slight fee to be able to refund the...
Make it refundable.
Yeah, make the hotel rooms refundable. So it was a very small cost if we don't end up being able to get tickets. Once we get tickets, our plan will be making sure we affirm all our travel and put in our PTO at work. Plenty of time.
Right, and even like the shorter side, like for myself, I'm theoretically trying to get to Milwaukee. By the end of Worlds, I had flights, a train from the airport to the place, and a hotel already sorted out and was telling everyone how much it would cost to do what I was doing.
We're all really, really excited, which I think, if nothing else, is an indicator that at least what they're doing is working for some of the player base, right? Yeah. We're some of it, a very, very small percentage, but we're some of it. So I think that they're making a lot of positive decisions. They're making mistakes, but they're willing to go, hey, we recognize this mistake and we don't intend to repeat that mistake, which is the hallmark.
Right. And I know it's a little off topic and I apologize for the moment of this, but like they announced that they know they're going to be trying better for set champs cards.
Yes.
Making them ones that are that they assume the player base will want more.
Absolutely.
Not just random card inset.
It's the first time I've heard you excited to jam a set champs.
I'm so ready for Fabled.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that Maleficent mat.
I don't even know what this one is.
This is Jafar.
Yeah,
Jafar.
It is.
It's the Jafar, High Lord of Lurkhan.
Whatever.
Is it High Lord? Is it Grand Illusionist? I don't know.
Something like that.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Who cares?
I'm sorry. I'm a bad Lurkhan player. I didn't have it in any limited pool, so I have never played that card.
It costs 5 and it's uninkable.
And a quest for 3.
Sultan of Lurkhan?
High Sultan of Lurkhan.
Okay.
I just want
Maleficent.
The Grand Poobah of Lurkhan.
On a playmat so I can stack 4 of them up to establish dominance. For myself, it's the first time I felt like happy or optimistic about where the game's going. Like they've had to take some steps back with things and it felt terrible, but it feels like they're actually trying to do the right thing by the player base. We just have to see it through.
Could not agree more.
Yep.
So there's only one thing left to do with all of these cards. We need to win a lot of these big events.
Not
deck out. Not deck out, but more importantly, we need to
keep questing.